We're so thankful to this great congregation of the Lord's people for the work that you are doing in this area and for the support and the prayers and the blessings that I continue to bestow upon the work in Carthage. We love you. We appreciate you so very much. I told Nathan I thought he was my friend until he assigned me this topic. What a great theme you have. They will not endure sound doctrine. And my assigned topic is women's role in the church. If we open our Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, and also we have reference from 1 Corinthians 14, 34 through 35. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, the Bible reads, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." The subject necessarily implies that God has a role for the woman and for the man in the home and also in the church. Male leadership in the church was never questioned in the distant past. For the last 50 years or more, there have been concerted efforts to incorporate perhaps more visible and authoritative role for the women in the church. But this should not come to a surprise to none of us. For as long as history has recorded, society has effectively tried to pull the church toward its practices when it should be the other way around. The church should be pulling society closer to God. But with the rise of the women liberation movement that has swept through the development of the nations throughout the world, it declares women as equal in every category to man. But not only does this movement seek to establish equality, but its ultimate goal is to overthrow the authority that God has given to man. As early as the 1970s, perhaps some of you may have read, and possible even sooner than this, claims have been made that the women's roles in the church should be no less visible than that of man. Some churches have introduced efforts to incorporate women into public services. In fact, I was reading about a congregation down south that had put together a four-year plan. Their goal is after 4 years, they will be able to have women preaching in the pulpit. Some women who want to be involved in public worship have left the Lord's church to seek and to join denomination churches so they can use their talents in the way of worship services. But because of these developments, along with many other trends occurring in the church, it is increasingly necessary to have a series such as this that we will be able to study God's word, to be able to make sure we stand on the firm foundation and not allow these things to creep into the Lord's church in this area. Our concern is to learn what God has to say about women's role in the church. Neither the pagan nor the liberation movement have the right nor the authority to change the Word of God. But when we turn to the Bible, we can clearly see women's role in the church in the matter of creation. We can see women's role in the church in the matter of authority, order, and also of service. Let's first look at women's roles in the church in the matter of creation. If you open your Bible to Genesis 1, 26 through 28, the Genesis record, it affirms that God created man in his own image. He created them male and female, created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The scriptures here, they help us to see that from the point of creation of both man and woman, God had a specific role for each. And in the language of these verses, there is no difference between the man and the woman as far as worth or value. There is no man that should say that he is superior to a woman, nor should a woman feel superior to a man. For we are all on the same level or of the same value when it comes to the human soul. But the soul of woman is just as precious and sacred as that of man. But after God created man from the dust of the earth, he saw that it was not good for man to be alone. So God caused a deep sleep upon Adam, and he removed from the side of Adam rib, and he formed woman. And Adam said, Genesis 2:23, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And he said, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So we can see here that both men and women, they are subject to the same laws of God, unless it is necessary that God give specifics, such as in the Old Testament regarding circumcision. We know that that do not apply to women. But they are both subject to the same promises of God. They are both subject to the same rewards from God. They are both subject to the same discipline, and they are also subject to the same punishment from God. So to some degree, women have been considered inferior to men, even in this great nation in which we live today. But these are the tragic mistakes of men, not God. God never intended for there to be superiority or inferiority when it comes to man and woman, when it comes to their souls. But these should help us to understand that when we look at creation, God had order, which is my next point. Men and women was created equal, but in his omniscient wisdom, God saw that there was none of the animal world like Adam. He put all the animals before Adam to name, but there was no one like him. So God gave him a helpmate. And the Bible said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Genesis 2:24. So the bond between the man and the woman was to be so holy and so sacred that only death was to do them part. So these thoughts tell us that the order of creation was important to God. Not only at the beginning, but it continues to be important to God. No organization of humans can function without order. There must be authority, and those in authority must be counted responsible for the actions that they have been given. And because the man was created first, he was given the responsibility of leadership. Leadership meant that he was to be an example for the woman and lead her in the right way. Responsibility, it means that he had to answer to God for his leadership, whether he led in the right or wrong way. One example of that is in Genesis 3:9. When you note that after sin had entered into the world, yes, it was Eve who took the lead to partake of the fruit. But God here, he calls Adam to answer for what had happened. God gave Adam the head. And that is the order in which God established in the beginning. If you open your Bible to Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, in verse number 12, you can see that God did indeed hold Adam accountable for what he and Eve did, because here Paul says, by one man, sin. In verse number 15, it says, offense of one. In verse number 17, it says, by one man. So here we can see that God did not carelessly use man instead of woman, but it was Adam's failure as his role as a leader that God called into question here. So the point stressed here is that God has provided that the role of the man shall be that of the provider, the protector, and the director of the home. Whereas God has provided that the role of the woman shall be that of the helper. And the word helper in Genesis 2:19 and 20, it says a helper comparable to him. This tells us what God intended woman to be. He intended the woman to be a companion for the man, a helper capable of matching man, a partner to share the experiences and the responsibility that God had given them. And the fact that the male is stronger, perhaps physically, God also addressed that. 1 Peter 3:7. Women's role in the church not only is a matter of creation, a matter of order, but it is also a matter of authority. The Bible teaches in many places that there is an area in which God has placed authority in the hand of the man, and a man has to abide by that authority. And while I believe most women would be willing to agree when it comes to the biblical account of creation, the biblical account of the order, but when we talk about authority when it comes to the church, here is where it gets different or shaky when it comes to the world. But from who do women, men, parents, the world look to when it comes to authority? We cannot look to the world when it comes to authority, when it comes to the Lord's church. Too often people see leadership and submission as a part of the local culture. And nothing more is so untrue, because men have been accused of lording over women. There has been cases where women has been exploited and downtrodden because they are submissive to their husbands. But authority, it originated with God and not man. So when we look for authority when it comes to the role of women in the church, we have to look to God. When he made women as the companion of man and designated her role in the home, in the church, he was again speaking out of his right as a creator. It is God who created the heavens and the earth. It is God who have created us and sustains us. It is God who will judge us. So it's from God we get our authority when it comes to the church and the home. When we look at our text, 1 Timothy 2, it helps us understand what God has given us in regard to the authority when it comes to the church. So one may ask, may the women scripturally teach in public assemblies? May she teach classes where both men and women are present? May she lead public prayers? May she serve as a church officer or official? In view of the general attitude toward authority, the world may say yes, but God says otherwise. Let us consider some of the passages in the Bible. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and let's begin with verse number 8. Here, Paul writing to Timothy, and he giving him some crucial commandments regarding the women's role in the church. And when you look at what he is saying here, men may try to minimize this to just public worship, but this is broader than that. Certainly, when you look at the instructions that he gives regarding modesty, verse number 9, and the instruction he gives regarding childbearing, verse number 15, yes, they are related to the women's perspective. But when we look at verses 8 through 10, he says here that the women are not to pray publicly when men are present. They are not to teach when men are present and are not to usurp authority over a man. So man and women relationship in prayer have already been addressed by God. Men are to pray in every place. The King James Version says everywhere. So men comes from a Greek word spelled A-N-E-R. That gives reference to the male. So the male is the one that should pray publicly. Here we are. We learn that wherever Christians gather together, and if there is the case where male Christians are present, the male should lead in prayer. Even if we are doing things with the youth, and it's a mixed crowd, if there is a male Christian available in that crowd, then his priestly function is to lead them in prayer. Women are not to be placed in leadership role over a man. Verse 11 and 12 again. So many perhaps misunderstand this because they have a problem with the word usurp authority. This phrase means have authority over. It means to govern one. It means to exercise dominion over one. It means taking authority away from one. So rather than a woman having authority over a man, the Bible says she has to learn in silence with all subjection. You notice that? And it goes on to say that to be in silence. This word silence is translated not to a extent that she cannot say anything, because that will eliminate her from being able to worship, because singing is a part of worship. But it does not mean total absence of speech, but it means to be quiet, have a quiet life, a peaceful demeanor. It means to not interrupt the service. This verse alone would, in verse number 12, alone would prohibit women from taking a leadership role in the church, because Paul says here that they are to learn in silence with all subjection. So women, by command of God, they are not allowed to preach or to assume a formal teaching role in relationship to men in spiritual matters. And for such a role would put her in a position of authority, thus causing her to violate God's law. So Paul gave the reason for this limitation. And sometimes folks say that Paul was a chauvinist, and they said Paul was, you know, he wasn't married, and that's why he said this, and that's why he taught the way that he taught. But not only God tells us what he wants, but in this case, he gives us a reason. And it's not because he don't love us. It's not because he don't want women to be happy. It's not because he's trying to oppress women. But God knows what's best for us. So here, Paul says the chief reason for the elimination of the woman, the limitations of the woman, was that, number one, verse 13, Adam was first formed, then Eve. And number two, he says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. So Paul shows that this command is not cultural. It's not because Paul is a chauvinist. It's not because God is trying to hold women down or men are supposed to oppress, but God give us the reason for this command. And this principle was not just for them at that time of the writing, but this is for all times and in all places. So the women's role in the church have not changed. Even though we live in a society in which we can turn on our televisions and listen to it on our radios, women preaching. Again, the chain of authority we just talked about, God is the one who makes those decisions. And these verses, it restricts the authority of the woman in the church. And these verses, the terms for man and woman, they are not generic like it is in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. But God is being specific here. He's talking about the male is the one that should pray in every place. He's talking about the woman is the one that should keep silence and be in subjection. So by divine decree, the Bible teaches us that man is the head of the woman, and that's in the home and in the church. And if we open our Bible to 1 Corinthians 14, 34 through 35, Paul again addressed this matter. And yes, I know that he was dealing with spiritual gifts, but Paul's statement is relevant even today. It is not limited to circumstances. So 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35, the Bible says, let your women keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husband at home, for it is shame for women to speak in the church. Someone may come along and say, well, what if I'm not married? Do that give me the authority to serve in a position of authority in the church? Paul dealt with that in those verses, and the answer would be no. If this become a situation, you can do as Paul directed the married women to do, to ask their husband at home, but the unmarried lady can ask the brethren or sister in privacy, not to interrupt the services. Even though the context is dealing with what has happened thousands of years ago, again, it is still timeless in its application even today. So this was not merely dealing with the local situation at Corinth either. If you open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2, there you will see that Paul said, them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So Paul was not only addressing the congregation at Corinth, but he was addressing all that falls in this category. And if you open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 8 and 9, Paul begins the chapter with the charge to be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So the apostolic authority by which he taught and wrote was not to be doubted. He helped his readers, and he helped us today to know that if he was a follower of Christ, then they also should follow his example. And even though he was a man and an apostle, Paul did not have the right to disobey the authority of God. So in verse number 3, he says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So here Paul, he points out that he, as a man, even though he may be Christ's apostle or ambassador, he is still under the authority of Christ. And Luke 22, 42, Jesus, he honored his Father as his authority. So as Christ is the head of the church, and man is the head of the woman, Christ, even though he is the head of the church, cannot disobey the authority of the Father. Neither can the woman go above the authority that God has given the man in the church. What about this authority? The basis for all spiritual practice is biblical authority. We have to find a thus saith the Lord in all that we do in religious matters. And when we find a thus saith the Lord, we have to make sure that we are obedient. Some people believe that what the Bible does not specifically address or forbid, we are authorized to do. And that is not true. This is the type of controversy that the Lord's church had over 100 years ago with the Christian church. And we find the same things happen even today when it comes to the role of the women in the church. To have Bible authority, a practice must meet one of three criteria. There must be a direct statement authorizing the practice. For example, the Bible teaches us that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a direct command. And that teaches us that we are to go wherever it is necessary to preach the gospel. Mark 16 and 15. But it could be an approved example. The Bible teaches us in Acts 20 and 7 that the saints upon the first day of the week came together to break bread. This is an example for us. When we come together on the first day of the week, God authorized us and commanded us to partake of the Lord's Supper. Or there must be a necessary inference, which obligates us to observe a certain practice. For example, if you open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8, the Bible has to have a direct statement, a direct command, an approved example, or necessary inference for what we do. The Bible says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." I don't see my name in here. Did anyone see their name in there? But because my name is not in these verses, does not mean that this does not apply to me. And we can necessarily infer that if we do not know God or obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will suffer the consequences that are in this verse. So the Bible teaches by direct command, approved example, or necessary emphasis. And then, therefore, without the authority for women taking a leading role in worship, according to the criteria outlined in Scripture, it would not be lawful for her to do so. So we can see here that in order for women to take a role when it comes to the church, there has to be a thus said the Lord. And the Bible helps us to understand in Colossians 3:17, that whatsoever you do in word or deed, we have to do in the name of or by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Women's role in the church is a matter of services. See, these facts do not suggest that women are inferior to man, but it helps us to understand that God has an order. And God has always had order. When we read the first book of Genesis, the first two books of Genesis, we can see how God has always had order. So a husband and a wife team help us to understand that God is fine with women being involved with different aspects of the work. You remember Aquila and Priscilla? They taught Apollos. Acts 18 and 26, 1 Corinthians 16 and 9. You remember Phoebe? She was a servant of the church at Sacria, Romans 16, 1 and 2. You remember Mary, who worked among the Romans, Romans 16 and 6. You remember Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labored in the Lord, Romans 16 and 12. So surely Paul would not have encouraged these women to be involved in the ministry of the Lord if the Lord had not had different works that women and men could do. So I want to acknowledge in this study that a woman's role in the church is significant. A woman can do some great things in her service to the Lord. And the salvation of a woman, it's not predicated upon her ability or the opportunity to have children, but her salvation is dependent upon her willingness to obey the Lord. You see, a woman as a man, they both must be obedient to the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And women have done wonderful works to forward the Lord's church. And I know they will continue to do great work. But when it comes to women's role in the church, the Bible is silent regarding women usurping authority over the man. A woman cannot take a position of leadership over the man in the Lord's church. Yes, I know the devil is busy in this world, and women are perhaps doing a lot of things in denominationalism, but that is not from the Lord. So the key for all women is that they should focus more on the things that they can do for the Lord and not be overly concerned about the few things that God has not authorized them to do. Of the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loves us, and he wants all of us to be saved. God demonstrated that love by sending Christ to die for sins that he did not commit. And Christ willingly laid down his life for my sins and your sins and the sins of this world. John 3:16, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. If you believe that, then you ought to want to demonstrate that belief by changing your mind about serving sin and serving Satan and turn to serving Almighty God. Jesus tells us if we do not believe that he is who he say he is, then we will die in our sins. And if we die in our sins, Jesus says that where he is, we cannot come. John 8:21 and also 24. And after changing your mind about serving sin and Satan, Luke 13:3-5, you have to be willing to confess Christ as the only begotten Son of God. But that's what God said, behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So when you confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you are saying the same thing that God said. You are in agreement with God. Matthew 10:32-33. And then you have to submit to water baptism. Why baptism? The Bible teaches us that baptism does now also save us. 1 Peter 3:21. So if you're here, you're not a Christian. You ought to become a Christian. There's nothing better than being a Christian. There's no higher position that one can hold in this life, even now or for all eternity, than to become a Christian. For Christian is to be in fellowship with God, to be in the family of God, and to have the hope of eternal life with God in heaven. If you are a Christian and you have fallen, you have lost focus, you have allowed the world to distract you from serving God, why not come back tonight? Whatever your needs are, let it be known.